looking for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Light on Living. I'm Light Coach Lisa, holistic nutritionist and life coach, helping to lighten the load of life's challenges. Goodness, there's a lot sometimes. Each show, we shine the spotlight on helpful techniques, mindsets, lifestyles, and inspiring stories to help you get through, not over, life's challenges. Goodness, goals, destinations, and dreams. Sometimes the big picture is actually the easy part. But what about all the details that get you there? How to start, where to start, when to start, and how to keep going, who to get help from, and who to get positive feedback from as well. Writing a book is a decision you might have made a long time ago. I think I've made that one too. Many times, actually, and I think other people think, how many times have they thought, oh, I want to write a book. I should write a book about that. Oh, I have a book in me. Or maybe they've already written a book and they want to do it again. But something has always stopped you or got in your way, or you just need help. So the writing process can be so overwhelming. That's usually when I think, oh my goodness, I don't even know where to start. And there's so many unknowns, and then there's the pressure of timelines, and oh my goodness, this is the one that probably is one of my toughest ones, is when people always ask me, is the book done yet? How far are you done? Are you done? And then you feel that pressure. So me thinking about all this, I really do believe there's lots of books in me, and just because there's things I want to share, but even I haven't figured this out yet. And I don't know if I'm sitting back going, maybe this is something that you'll connect with, is that, are you just too busy? Really? Are we all too busy? Or you don't know if anybody will even want to read what we've written. You don't know if you're a good enough writer, or it's so overwhelming and so big. And sometimes I even think to myself, goodness, am I just lazy? Like I have this grandiose idea that I'm going to write this book, but then no, too much work. I'm not going to get this. So I can imagine all the things that go through my mind. So I can only imagine what other people are thinking. And I kind of put this out to the universe. I said, hey, universe, help me out here. What is stopping me? Like, what's going on? And, you know, we don't ever know when we get those answers, right? We don't know how it's going to come, in what shape or form. And here I was going along my merry way, and I was poking onto the different social media platforms. And in the middle of everything, had just booked a very regular, casual get-to-know-each-other call with a lovely lady named Nancy, who I will bring on in a minute. But I thought it was just to connect, just to chit-chat and everything. And then all of a sudden, this universe obviously put her in front of me for a reason. I found out, I didn't even know this existed, but there's something that exists as a book writing coach. And then there's a course that goes along with this. So this is a really cool thing. As soon as I was speaking with her and I heard, like, we were just exchanging this basic information of saying, hi, my name is so-and-so, and who are you, and what do you do? I thought, you know what, I've got to have her. I've got to have her on the show, because I really believe so many people could benefit from the exact information she is going to share with us on this call. And who do we have? We have Nancy Erickson, the book professor, who has worked in big businesses, small businesses, nonprofits, self-employed. She's written books, developed curriculum, published other people's books, and taught university classes. And I brought her here today. So hello, Nancy.
Hi. Good to be with you, Lisa.
Aw, so good to be with you. I find it fascinating that you went from the opposite end of publishing and writing and said, you know what? I think people need a little bit of help here. I would like to help them. So that's, if you could share how you went from the other side to this side, I would love that for the listeners to hear that from you.
Oh, absolutely. So as Lisa said, you know, I was teaching university classes, teaching writing, and I had also started a small press for nonfiction books and had published a couple of books that I'm really proud of. One was written by a Holocaust survivor who had gone to school with Anne Frank. And we actually did that book release in Amsterdam at their school. So that, I felt like we were really making an impact there. And then another book I had published, we got back cover endorsements from Sir Paul McCartney and Cindy Crawford. And so I was all you know, excited about that, of course. I mean, that really is a big feather in your cap as a publisher. But, you know, I really felt like we were going places and signing authors and just publishing their books. But there, I started getting a whole lot of manuscripts from authors that had such important truth in it. And what I do is I help people who aren't writers to become authors of high impact nonfiction books that save lives, change lives, or transform society. So as a publisher, you know, you just receive the manuscripts and then you work with the author and to get it published. But I was getting so many manuscripts that would do those things, save lives and change lives and transform society. But they were so poorly written that I could do nothing with it. And I know it. And I was troubled by that. And then after we published the book where we got the endorsement from Paul McCartney and Cindy Crawford, I literally felt something come over me that told me to stop, that wasn't what my role was to do, was to just sign authors and publish their books.
I think that's fascinating. I think that's fascinating to even just let people know. First of all, I want to honor you for listening to that, to stopping and say, like, that's a pretty scary thing to feel or think. And you actually went, yes, this means something. There's a big change for me.
It is, but it really felt like truth. It really felt like truth, and that, you know, my role was to help thousands and thousands of people who have books inside them but don't know how to get them out. Because here's the thing. We have so many problems in our world, and you know, a lot of times we're just throwing up our hands because we can't even name the problems anymore. They're so complex.
Yes.
But I really believe that we can solve them all, and that the answers are trapped inside of people, and that there's a couple of things we can't live without as human beings, and those two things are hope and help. We can give people hope for a better future, and we can help them along the way. So when I got this, you know, message to stop, it felt like truth to me. Because so many of those manuscripts that I got weren't publishable. So I did stop. And because I taught writing at a university and I had a publishing company, I married those skills together to create The Book Professor. And so, like I said, what I do is I help people who aren't authors to write, who aren't writers to become authors. And
it's actually funny you chose to. That's great that you chose to repeat that specific. I was going to actually highlight that you help people who are writers become authors. And if you could, can you let us know what is a manuscript for all those who don't know what stage of that?
Yeah, a manuscript is when somebody has written their book and they finished it and then they feel like it's ready for publication and they send it off to a publisher. It's the book content before it's published. That's what a manuscript
Has it been? Has it been edited at this point, or is it just everybody's kind of said, here's my book?
Well, sometimes yes and sometimes no. So that's where a lot of the problem lies. So, but the things that I received, I'm not sure they were edited, or if they were edited, it wasn't really good editing. So I always had that terrible feeling like this is really got a nugget of important truth in it. But I couldn't do anything with it.
Right. I think that's where I think a lot of people, I'm going to just throw myself in this as the I person through this entire call, is that I might sit back and go, I feel there's a nugget, because maybe the whole entire book idea that I or anybody else has could be wrapped up in one statement. But yet we have to write this book now, and it can get lost, as you said. And you're thinking, oh, goodness, like what can I do with this? So it sounds like you even have a keen eye and as you're reading to go, there it is right there. That's what this book is about. And it's hard to go back in that. So there's actually something. When was this? How many? Was it years ago or a short while ago that you decided?
Oh, it's about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So and I ended up, I took a couple of years and I wrote a I've been helping people for 5 years, but I wrote a step-by-step program that takes you from just your initial idea. I want people to come with me with their idea and not with these fully written manuscripts, because it needs to have to be all changed up. But it takes you all the way from your first idea to planning your book to writing it and to self-editing it and then professional editing. And, hey, I still have the publishing company, so we will publish your book as well.
I think I failed to mention that at the beginning, actually. That is correct. That's a bonus, not just a bonus, but the benefit and bonus, that you actually have that not only the understanding of how a publishing company works, so you can say that this is what they would be looking for, but you, in fact, you own one, you have one. So there's that little bit of a partnership there right from the start.
Exactly. Yeah. Because you brought up the word manuscript. I mean, what's good as a manuscript? You need it to become a book. And so, you know, my clients, they don't want to figure that out, the whole publishing or health self-publishing industry. So we take that for them, that piece for them, and use our expertise in designers, et cetera, to create a product that can stand shoulder to shoulder with anything out there on the market. And like I said, you know, we have those high standards that allowed us to get those endorsements from Paul McCartney and Cindy Crawford, and that's what we do every single time.
Right, and you know, I know we are going to go to commercial, but I think that was the key there too, is that the author doesn't want to have to learn all of those things, and so they want to focus on the writing process. So when we do come back from commercial, that is actually what I'm really, really excited about, because you broke it down for me, and I went, oh my goodness, those are all the things that I need help on, and here's the coaching. Mm-hmm. So when we come back, step by step.
All right.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Join me, Tammy Adams, intuitive life coach and spiritual healer, for my new show, Karma Talk. Learn how to get rid of your karma so that you can start living the life you are meant to live. I am not going to tell you what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. Join me on Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time for Karma Talk on OM Time Radio.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, and of course, companionship. Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
Fantastic cat. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
We're back with Nancy Erickson. And you know what, Nancy, I want to share with everybody that when I first had that very short but informative conversation with you, you ran through just a few little steps. And immediately I thought, wow, just even you naming the steps without even going into detail helped even my brain just have some kind of organization to it. Like, oh, that's where you start. Like, where? Because I think a lot of people really are just sitting at that. I really not want to share my story. Share this message, teach somebody or do something, and then they just, that's it. That's, I do believe that's what I hear a lot from people, and they go, that'd be a good book. So is that where you would think is that where we actually should, that's a great place to start, and then we go? Because if I would love for you to share the steps with the listeners.
Absolutely. Well, it's interesting that you say that, because some people start, they just sit down and they start writing, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just not sure that it will produce the result that you are looking for. So when I created this step-by-step process, the intent was for it to save you time, energy, emotional energy, and money in the long run. So we always start with the basics, you know, the foundation. So when you come to me and you just have this idea, we go through a series of what I call foundational questions. And they're really introspective. They're harder than you think they are. There's 12 of them. And we start with this first one. It's, you know, why are you even doing this? What's your reason? You know, why are you wanting to write a book, and what are you hoping to get out of it? And so, you know, I ask people to be, you know, really, really honest about this and to take some time to answer the questions, you know, to figure out what is my motivation. And some, for some people, for it's to advance their career. For other people, and most of my clients, it's because they really want to make a difference. They want to be a person that offers that hope and help. But there's other questions like, who is your audience? And we try to get as specific as possible because we want to find those people when the book is finished. And so your book isn't for everyone. It's for a subset of everyone. We try to figure that out. And then an important part of it is how is your audience going to be changed as a result of taking in your message? Because we want to create change, right? Yeah. So we want to create change. And eventually we end up distilling everything down into a purpose statement for your book that says, the purpose of this book is to do this particular thing for this specific audience. And what is so great about that purpose statement is that becomes the guiding light for your book. Everything rolls up to the purpose. So when you're trying to, you know, part of the problem with some of the books that I told you about that I couldn't publish is they were so unfocused. They were just all over the place. Like the person thought, oh, I have, there's only one chance to tell people everything that I know. And that's not the case. You want your book to be really focused and not rambling. So when we start to lay out the content for your book, the criteria is, does this help deliver the audience to realize the purpose of the book? Mm. So we start with that foundation.
It and sounds like there, already, just before we leave the foundation, because right now, of course, my little brain's bubbling everywhere. But it sounds like even just that, like you didn't even do all 12, like just even those few questions. I love that you said guiding light. The guiding light. I'm in my mind. I was trying to go, oh, what about this book and that book? It feels like right there will already, as you mentioned, the intention of the whole process that you created was to save people emotional time, real like in live time, energy and money. Mm-hmm. I already feel like if they did that, you know, that's a tremendous amount already, and I already love that. The purpose statement. Yeah, just beautiful on that one. I did love, and I want to really highlight this, was how will this book change the audience? Like, how will they be changed after? And I think that right now, to all the listeners, that will be one that really connects with people, because you're right, to offer that hope, to offer all that I think is the biggest thing. How your book, after really, even if it's just making them feel good, release of oxytocin because it's so pleasurable and funny, or you know, all these things. So that's a great thing from foundation. Okay, I didn't want to move on without that.
Well, I want to throw something else out there too, Lisa, because it's surprising how many people tell me that this not only helped them focus their book, but focus their life. And it started, you know how things work, you let that energy out and it starts working in other areas. And I tell people, because when they write their book with me, it takes a year, because my clients are really busy professionals. And you know, I know we're going to get to the time thing, but here's the thing is that while you're working on your book is working on you, and you will attract things that you need for the book and that you need in your life. And every single one of my authors have had that experience. It has not just been writing a book, but it's been, it just has enhanced their life in so many ways. I didn't expect that. I just thought we were doing books, you know, but apparently we're doing something a little bit more than that.
That's why it's a coaching program. We don't mean just to coach you on helping you write the book. This is a growth process. Writing the book is a journey. And oh my goodness, and we're only at the foundation. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So if they were to move on, they've got a year doing this. So we've gone through foundation and they actually get through that and they change. And then what's the next step?
Okay. So the next step is that we build out these book maps. And what a book map is it's a visual representation of everything that's going to be in your book. And the value of that is that you have a plan, and we haven't started writing yet. We're just, you know, making the plan to write. But when you have your book map complete, if you only have 15 minutes, you can contribute something to your book because you can just see it laid out in front of you. So there's two different book maps. The first is your own personal story, which is important because you need to ingratiate yourself to the readers and show them that, you know, you're just like they are, maybe just a few steps down the road, but you're reaching back to give them that hope and help. And then we have the chapter book maps. And so you take your topic, and what we do is we will identify around, we start with 12 problems that your audience is likely to be having. And we name those problems, and through a very story-driven format, you present your solutions. We're never telling people what to do. We're showing them by storytelling how this has worked and how it can work for them as well. So those become your chapters. And the beauty of this is that when you're finished with the book, your book actually becomes this launch pad by which you can, you know, just spread your message across multiple venues, because you should be able to take out every one of those chapters, repurpose that content for seminars or workshops or speeches or blog posts or podcasts or your own online training. So the book is, again, it's a found, we start with the foundation because the book is the foundation and allows you to communicate to a wider audience. Because you know what, if you want a bigger audience, you need a bigger platform, and your message is valid across all sorts of channels.
I actually love that you said, I now I'm remembering this, and this is grabbing me again. As a speaker and a presenter, or little, teaching little lessons, or even when I have a client and I'm doing a coaching session, and it's, maybe we have 10 in total, I love that you said you can take each chapter and repurpose it so that it is a complete message in and of itself, but also you get the feedback along the way, or you find those little, I know if I have to do a seminar and say I'm going to do it four times, each time I might get a little bit of a different energy vibe from the crowd or from what's going on, and then just something comes up a little different. And that actually right there, again, very valuable thing, because that personal part of it that's in the personal story of the relate goes also with each chapter that you're sharing as well. So that's a very valuable tool, like step right there, the book mapping. I love that.
Yeah, and so, I mean, you can see why the planning phase is so important. A lot of times people were making these maps and they're like, when are we going to start writing? I'm like, you are writing your book. You just don't realize it, because we include everything on that map that they're going to expand and write about. And it's a process that really works. So that's how we get started with that, those foundational questions and the book mapping.
Here's a story opportunity for you here. How would you help the people who are saying, I want to write my book, I don't feel like I'm writing a book, and you're coaching them through that when, like, they're just chomping at the bit to get what they really believe is still writing the book? How would you coach them just to hang in there a little bit longer to understand that they actually are?
Well, I do. I just tell them that. I said, it doesn't feel like this. And a lot of times it feels like we start and we're going really slow. And part of the reason is because it's chunked in a manner that really busy people can get this done. You know, it wouldn't do me any good to give them a whole bunch of homework that they couldn't complete, because they'd feel defeated and behind and they'd stop.
Right. I love it. The reassurance.
Yeah. Yeah. They get reassurance that they're on the right track. And there's nothing worse than a goal that's out of bounds and that you can't reach it. That's just completely defeating. And, you know, they come to me for help in doing this. And so, you know, the fact that it takes a year is really appropriate. In fact, I've had someone say, I don't know why it has to take a year. Excuse me. And I asked,
oh, goodness,
said,
did you want to...
Well, how long? I said, how long do you think it should take? And he's like, and he just started laughing. And he goes, I have no idea. I said, trust me, nobody has ever told me they wish they had had less time to write their book. And again, while you're working on your book is working on you. And important things are coming into your awareness.
I think that goes along with almost all aspects of coaching is that, like you said, they've come to you for help. And then that's why any coach is offering coaching is because we sometimes have ideas or beliefs or expectations in our own mind that either are rushing us. And maybe that's even the fact that what was holding them back in the first place, if they thought it could be done in less than a year, then they would have done it. So I love that this actual coaching process, it's not just a manual. Here's a manual, follow these steps. You're there as a real person listening to them, hearing their things and really feeding it back to them and saying, is this what I'm hearing from you and what is the concern? So can we go, is it more about the book wrap or the next process? Because I know we have a minute left before commercial, but I'm so excited to get to the next step too and for you to share. Can we start the next one?
Yes, we can. And then we may have to pause a little bit. So
yes,
the program I developed is in three different modules. So I just described the first module to you, which is the foundational questions, the purpose statement, and the mapping. Now, in module two, that's where you write your first draft. And this is also where I put on my writing professor hat and teach you how to write really compelling, creative nonfiction. Because nonfiction has to be just as, just as interesting and moving as fiction does. And so I teach you a lot about that. We also go into some exercises with time blocking, so that you are able to set your schedule and write the things that are on your book map and actually get them complete, in your first draft.
Okay, see how beautifully you did that with the time?
All right, we'll be right back.
Yeah.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg roll showed up like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
All right, I just love that we ended with the time blocking. But I was going to say, when you had mentioned that when somebody's writing nonfiction, so there's fiction, which is a storytelling, and then nonfiction, so the opposite. As I said, it has to be compelling, it has to be grabbing, it has to be attractive. And I think that's what's really neat is when you're not all alone and you have somebody to kind of help you, you can say, hey, what does this sound like? And it's not just you because there's a group there. I'm going to let you get into that too, but I remember when I was being taught how to do our story, to write your personal story so that you can share it with your audience so that we can relate. And it really had to kick off with a bang, like to really say, I've got something that you'll probably really want to hear, and it's really interesting. So it's great to have help with that along the way.
Mm. Yeah. So
it's so funny when there's a time delay. It's so funny.
Okay.
Yeah. I know, I always catch that, and I try to give a second there, and I didn't mean to cut you off. So when we are talking about in the second module here, we've got the time blocking. What the heck does that mean? Because this is for busy people here.
Yeah, it is. And so, people only have a certain number of hours a week, and writing a book is going to take time. Books don't write themselves. You have to dedicate the time to it. So we go through some exercises where they block off certain times of the day, and they need to have reserve about 5 hours a week to write their first draft and then to polish it up. So we go through some exercises that shows them how to time block, and then we put in the specific pieces of their book map that they're going to write on particular days. And so as long as they, you know, have that, they're organized, but when they sit down to write, they don't have to think, gee, what do I feel like? No, you look at your plan and you write that. Now, I don't believe in writer's block. I believe that you write your way out of it. You just start writing. And, you know, writer's block is kind of an excuse for not writing. So, you know, we seem to resist the things that we're supposed to do. But you mentioned the group, and we'll talk about that a little bit. But there's, yes, you know, I can't imagine, I don't know how people write books without accountability. And when you have other people that are interested and are keeping pace with you, it makes it much easier to get the work actually done. So we time block. And then during the second module, you know, so they have everything that they're going to write from their book map on their calendar to write their first draft. And the only goal of the second module is to get everything that's on that book map down on paper into a rough draft. And, you know, it's still a lot of work. So people, you know, move through the process and we do it together. And at the end of that module, they should have a complete first draft. And it's going to be awful. First drafts are terrible.
They're terrible.
They're terrible. Every writer will tell you that. You don't let anybody see your first draft because all you did was get everything down on paper. But in the third module, it's called Polish and Perfect. Again, all of this is a step-by-step process. And you know what? A lot of my clients, they love this because they're like, this is, I only have to do this one thing this week. And you know, I know I'll end up with a finished book.
Yes.
So if I just do this one thing, I'm on track. But it is a year, so you have to stay on track for a long time. But in module three, which is called Polish and Perfect, I take you through a series of self-editing exercises to really make your manuscript shine to the best of your ability. And, you know, when you're finished with that third module, you will have your finished manuscript, and then it goes to a professional editor because every great writer has a great editor.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'm going to jump back because there's so much in the first and second, but with the module, what did we do? The time block. And then when you said, I'm really pulling this back because when you said, I don't believe in writer's block, I love that actually, because a lot of times I know, even because I am a pretty positive person. So even if I, for the moment, my writer's block would be if I'm not feeling so positive, like in my own spin on that language, right? Well, the first thing I do is, well, then I'm going to listen to something that is. I'm going to listen to something that will lift me up, something that I will move forward, because if I sit in my block. If I sit on that block.
Exactly.
Then, and I wondered if maybe somebody listening right now really is experiencing, I work with a lot of musicians. So say you set a certain time and we get together and you're all sitting there and no one can think, like as soon as somebody says, I just can't think of anything, it's almost contagious.
It's contagious.
Another person. Yeah. Yes. And I wondered, so now that you're in this group, you're working with that synergy, and then you have a coach and a leader such as yourself or somebody else that you're with. Oh, sorry. I jumped into that group thing again. I clearly want to talk about this group. Yes. Well, I think maybe we should, because then I can bring it all together when I'm talking about somebody with writer's block or just stuck or disbelief or something. So, yes, I'm at the group now so that I can jump into that.
Yeah, sure. So, one of the reasons why people need a book coach is for accountability. And I also find that when you're writing a book, my authors, it's the first time they've done that, but they need more than accountability and encouragement from me. It really works best when we work in groups. So in my group coaching, it's limited to 10 people, and usually they're from all over the world, you know, English-speaking world. And so what we do is you log in and you do the lessons. You know, there's videos and homework to download through my client portal. And then once a week, we're on a group coaching call for an hour. And we're talking about what we've written and what we're working on and where we're struggling. And especially even starting back in the beginning when people are writing their purpose statement, they're throwing it out to the group. Does this make sense? Do you see where I'm going? Mm-hmm. And one of the beauties of the group is that it really becomes your book mastermind. The group is so important because it allows you to vet your ideas and to gain confidence in what you're doing before your book is finished and it's just thrown out there to the public. And I can't tell you how naked you feel when your book is published. And if you haven't had that experience in a small group, then it's pretty hard to do. But the group, they add so much to one another's content and their ideas. And you know, my clients are highly intelligent, you know, busy professionals. And so they have experiences in the subject matter of a lot of the other people in the group. So they come really bonded. And so it's really neat because everybody starts out with an idea and they end up with a book.
Yes. You know, I'm so totally drawn to thinking about, as a nutritionist for me, I did the hardcore nutrition facts about food and everything, but then I started into cooking the food, making the food, and then feeding this to people. Well, you kind of have to taste it first and then also have other people taste it before you somebody might say, oh, it's too salty or it tastes too bland or it tastes too spicy. And then sometimes it's not even about a critique like that, but it's, oh, wow, did you know this reminds me of something I had that I used to like and it went well with something else. So these are additions, not changes, and not, you know, critiques all the time. So the group is there really to love your, like, imagine that book going out with so much love already.
Well,
feedback.
And the other thing is, and I tell people, don't show this to your family and friends, just to this group, because a couple things can happen. You know, this is true, that some people's opinions are weighted way more than other people's. And whether they like it or not could be the, you know, death of your, you know, motivation. And so, you know, your family, they either love you too much to tell you the truth or they're not very kind, and they can drag you down. So we like to keep it within the group to get that encouragement and feedback because it's more honest and more, I would say, appropriate, particularly while you're in the writing phase.
I like the word appropriate because sometimes people might not even, I mean, it's definitely important to think of the reader, the audience, you know, they're not the critic either. They're going to put the money out. They're going to buy the book. So it's something that they get to decide and choose. When everything, the course is done, the book is written, it's put into a book, it's published. Does the group still, I guess it would be their choice to continue together. Do they support each other in any way?
They tend to stay in contact with each other and celebrate each other's accomplishment and try to promote each other's books to their circles as well. So it ends up being a really tight-knit group. However, having said that, there's some options because we have these group coaching calls and, you know, once a week for a year. And sometimes things happen in people's lives where they need to pause. Something happens in their business or in their personal life, and they say, okay, I've done module one, but I can't really start writing until after my business goes through this management change in 4 months. And so they have the option to shift into another cohort of writers, and they just absorb them as well, you know, and they become part of that group. So it's not like it's going to, you know, it's not restrictive. It's not like, if I start now, I have to do every week. It has to be flexible because a year is a long time and a lot can happen. But people pause on occasion. It's best if you don't, because you keep the rhythm up.
Right, but it can move and be flexible with you. Oh, goodness, something just came to my mind. Hold on here. Oh, have you ever experienced, has there been any writers that have started and then along this journey of process discovered that isn't even the book that they want to write?
Oh, yeah. Yes, that has happened. It's so funny because those foundational questions really turn your attention to what is really working on you and what your message really is. And I had one gentleman who was a labor negotiator, And so he was going to write about that. I think he represented companies, and they negotiated with the unions, et cetera. So that's what he was going to write about. We went through the foundational questions, and he said, this isn't what I want to write. This isn't, every time I sit down to do these questions, something else comes up. And he goes, I think I'm writing a book to women to show them how beautiful they are and to not try to change themselves to please men. And I was, wow, that's a lot. That's talk about change lives, save lives, transform society. And so that's the direction he went.
Wow, that actually makes me very happy that and that's a bold one. That's like maybe that's even, and I think that's where when we were talking about the first the very very foundational questions, often I know I will sit back and think there's topics, and funny enough, I will share this because we have 1 minute, and I've got 1 minute to spit this out before the commercial, and this is a fun thing to share with you. I have absolutely had committed faith that I would write my Dating Your Diet book, and it was about an absolute thing. Well, just last week, it actually hit me, and I thought, oh my goodness, it is, you know, going to be Dating Your Diet, but it actually took on another completely, because I think just by having that call with you, Nancy, like almost a month ago, probably now, or close to it, I lose track of time, I was thinking about it too. And I think that is the most valuable piece in the beginning, to know that you are in the right direction. You've got your, and like you said later, these are busy people that they can now just sit down. They're not just sitting down to write. They go to their mapping and they think, this is what I'm doing this week. And I think that is the best part. So when we do come back from commercial, people will have to find out all the good stuff about the ending of the writing.
All right.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive dedicated community.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Me, a cat, moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. Humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and theshelterpetproject.org.
Nancy, over that commercial break, actually, one of my biggest question is, I'm so glad there was a commercial about people hosting their own radio show. Here's my question to you, Nancy. You're one of the best you say is that you help writers become authors. Can you help talkers and doers to be writers, to be authors? And what would be your best advice? And I'll share that.
Absolutely.
I'm a talker. But then there's doers. There's bakers. There's nurses. There's nutrition. Musicians. There's people who actually do stuff. They don't even talk it. How do they? Can they become authors? And how would they do that?
Absolutely. And what I said was, I help people who are not writers to become authors.
Oh.
So people who do stuff. Absolutely. Yeah, that's the thing. None of my clients are writers, but they're all becoming authors, and we follow this same process. But I'm glad about what you said about talkers, because for a lot of people, the thought of sitting down at their computer keyboard and start banging away at a book is just a block. It just seems like that's overwhelming to them. So the other thing that I do is I introduce you to a lot of writing tools that make it go faster. And there are a number of things that we can use so that you can actually talk and turn your speech into text for your book. Now, see, I could never do that because I like to write, and I work best when I can see the words, et cetera. But other people, they do their best thinking on their feet, and so they just like to talk it out. And you can actually write your entire book that way if that's what you like, and it comes out in text in a certain program that we use. So there's ways to shortcut things all the way around. You know, we live in this incredible time of technology, and we make use of all of it. Anytime I can find a shortcut, I pass it along, and we put it to use.
I love that. And so it's letting people know, again, there's hope. There's that hope and help. There's hope for you. So whatever whatever is your forte, your talent and skill of how you are making a difference, and you believe that if that could be delivered in a way that somebody could either read it or, oh, and speaking of which, actually, I'm just really going off here, audiobooks, once a person has completed their book and it's published and everything, what route does that take to become an audiobook so people can listen to them while they're driving or doing whatever? Are you part of that, or is that a different step somewhere along
the
line?
Well, we certainly can be, or we can show you what to do, because basically what you do is there's a service through Amazon where you can hire professional readers, and what happens is they end up getting a percentage of the sales for the audiobook. So audiobooks are great. E-books are great. However people want to access your material is wonderful. And then, of course, remember, we like to encourage people to take those chapters and repurpose the content across multiple venues. Podcasts are really cool, too, because people listen to podcasts, and that's kind of a bite-sized chunk, and you can totally podcast your entire book.
Okay, there's just so many ways. I really love that, and then that's along the way. So I saved this part to the end of the closing so that people can understand. I really wanted listeners to feel like if you're even just thinking, like, how to take the steps, and that there is a map to go this route. And so I do want to let everybody know how to get in contact with you, how to find out more about you and that process, about this whole coaching business. How would you invite people to find you and learn about this?
Well, the best way is to go to our website, which is thebookprofessor.com. There's a lot of information on there, and there's, if you have specific questions, you can go to the contact page and send me an email, and we'll respond to it. But what I want to say is that if you're even remotely thinking about it, think about the reasons why you haven't done that yet. And usually I find that people are thinking about writing a book, but they don't know how to get started, and so they don't write it. They don't know what's involved, so they don't write it. They don't think they're a writer, so they don't write it. And sometimes they just need to have their idea validated. And we do all that. And I'm telling you, people come to me with just an idea, nothing on paper. And we come out with, we tease that message out of you, and organize it and deliver it in a way that can impact the audience in the way that you hoped it would, to change lives, save lives, and transform society. So everybody has this story. You know what? You don't know everything out in the world. You don't know how to solve all the problems out in the world, and you're not supposed to. But you know you're one patch of ground. You know what you know. You know what you've been through. You know what you've overcome. You know what you've developed. You know what you've gleaned and discovered. And so honestly, you're the only one who can do it. You've got this message, and it's yours, and you're the only one who get it out there. So I see people like you and your audience over on the left who have answers, and people way over on the right who in some cases are literally dying looking for those answers. And I'm just that hallway that connects you. And all you have to do is walk through the halls, step one, step two, just every week, little bitty pieces to get that dynamic, life-changing message out to the universe so it can do its work.
I love that. It's like all the little stars, and they're making that constellation in the sky. And then, you know, we say, oh, there's that, you know, in pictures. And we don't know who's looking at it from what part of the world and at what time of the night of the sky. And
actually just picturing this big blanket of sky now with stars, but I do love that so much. And once you yourself, and I know I'm closing this in at the end here, but you do have a publishing company, and that also too is very important to be choosy about who you are working with, so that the publisher believes in your message, believes in your book, and can help choose that audience. And that's what you do with with people. You wouldn't accept, you would let them know if, before they even finished writing the book, if this was going to be a book that would work.
Oh, well, no, I let them know in the beginning when we're doing the foundational questions. We don't wait till the end. Yeah. And we make sure it's something that's going to work and that it's formatted properly. But, there's a lot of advantages to, when you're finished with your manuscript, you can take it anywhere you want. If you want to self-publish it, you can. If you want us to publish it, we will take it through the editing and publishing and design processes. But you're not obligated to do that. I just find that my clients don't want to have to learn how to be a publisher. And so we get everything set up for you so that it's print on demand and distributed around the world. And that's the cool thing about, let me just explain a little bit about print on demand. The books aren't printed until they're sold. So what that means to you is you aren't investing a whole lot of money in inventory. And so, and you just buy, when you buy books for yourself to distribute, the way you might want to do that, you just pay the print fee for the books. But it also gives you an advantage in that we don't normally run into this, but if there's something that you need to tweak or change in your book after it's out there, you just upload a new file and there you go. And
it's
you've
that
got
easy
content.
It's that easy for me.
Other people, to have to figure it out is a little bit detailed, but yeah, it is. You know, it's so flexible. I mean, why wouldn't you do this? You have everything at hand to write and publish a phenomenal book about what only you have as a message. And so I just would really encourage people, go to the website, thebookprofessor.com, and reach out to us because we're here to help.
I can honestly say you've already helped me, and again, for even being just to help all the listeners on the show right now, but you've made a huge difference, and I so appreciate, like, my heart really does thank you for caring in people's messages and caring for that, what they could offer as a solution or potential help or just, like, help for everybody, and I love that you have that belief in you and that you listen to that very calling that was put upon you. And I really appreciate you being here today. And I'm so grateful and thankful. I know that we will be working together. So I'm good with that. But
we have
you,
to, Lisa.
Well, everybody, Nancy Erickson here from thebookprofessor.com. I will put this up on a link. And just everybody, there is absolute hope, and it falls all under the process. Thank you so much, Nancy.
You're welcome. Thank
you,
Lisa. I've really enjoyed our time.
We'll talk soon. Okay, bye-bye. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.